The dead bury the dead. Let us preach the kingdom of the living. Master, Master, they cried, we are drowning. So he woke up and checked the wind and the surf. They ceased, and there was a calm. Then he said to them, where is your faith? They marveled in awe, saying to one another, whatever can he be? He gives orders to the very winds and the waters, and they obey him. Luke 8:24-25. Now, you see, the most wonderful thing about the Master was that he lived in the universal. He lived in the impersonal. To be impersonal was freedom. To be universal was whole and complete. But everyone is created in the universal. Everyone is created in the impersonal. And the impersonal and the universal exist in every individual. That is the great, wonderful truth that Jesus himself saw. Therefore, he became universal. And when he became universal, all power was given unto him, because he was universal. Is it not so that the universal mind created everything, and everything exists in the universal mind? And the consciousness in the universal mind must be the controller and director of every phase of activity that exists in the universe. It is so, therefore, Jesus in his consciousness was aware that he was also created one with the Father, living in the universal. Therefore, the universal and all in the universal must respond. That is the great truth. When you become personal, you lose yourself in the personal. The personal is separation. But the impersonal is not unity. The personal is separation between man and man, is it not? The impersonal is a unity between God and man, is it not? Therefore, when we see clearly the mind of the Master, we see also that he must have discerned everything that was made up in his mind. The things that were made up in the mind were not real. They were a belief, an idea, a memory, knowledge. But wisdom and love was not made up in the mind, and these were the pillars upon which he stood. What is made up in your mind is made up in your mind. What people will say to you of what happened to you long ago is made up in your mind too, is a memory. It's just a memory and nothing more, a memory made up in your mind. But these memories that are relegated to the past, things that happened long ago, they come up to be destroyed. And it's the most wonderful thing when some person comes to you and tells you something that reminds you of some incident of the past. It enables that incident to rise to the surface, you will know it has come up or destruction. And as you discern it and understand it in the present, it no longer worries you. But when you try to forget it and force it back into the old place where it was, it will still have the power it had before. But immediately you understand it, it passes away. It no longer is anything at all. It's made up in your mind. It was made up in your mind in the first place. Therefore, you are the only one that giveth power. Therefore, it has no power of its own. Everything must be discerned in the present. And as you are aware in the present all the time of your thoughts, your ideas, your motives, your conditions, and your conditioning, if you're aware of them now, what's happening at this very moment, these will dissolve away because you will understand them. And all that is then in the unconscious portion of your mind will begin to rise to the surface to be destroyed too. It must take its place. You will see what I am telling you now. Again, I must make you aware, surely to God you can understand these words of mine. Truth is not made up in your mind. What's made up in your mind is not truth. What's made up in your mind is made up by yourselves. Your reaction to things external to yourself, what people say to you and so forth, you will know it's your own images, your own ideas. and a memory cannot hurt you. But immediately you understand it, immediately you look at it, you understand it completely, it passes away and dissolves into nothingness, no longer to affect you anymore. Therefore, all these things come up from the unconscious to the consciousness to be destroyed and never again to interfere with your present. I've always said to you, if the past interferes with the present, discern it clearly in the present, and therefore it will dissolve away. The past is in the mind. Memory, knowledge, experience is in the mind. It is not truth. Knowledge is not truth. Experience is not truth. Memories are not truth. They are made up in the mind. But truth is not made up in the mind. It's beyond mind. I am the truth. I am not made up in my mind. I am the truth. I can only make an idea in my mind about the truth, which is not the truth. But I am the truth. I am the living truth. Therefore, the self has to be discerned. It is the self that is caught up in pain and suffering and disease. It is the personal that knows disease. The impersonal does not know what disease is. It is the personal that is selfish, ingathering, acquisitive, hateful, antagonistic, unforgiving, violent. Is this that causes sickness? The impersonal knows none of these things. Hence the impersonal alone is healing. The more impersonal you become, the more loving and kind you become, because the impersonal itself is love. And when we have dissolved everything and understood all our experiences, understood them, not repressed them or fear them, but understand them, then the scar of these experiences dissolved away and no longer troubled you. It is the personal that suffers. The impersonal doesn't suffer. And why does the personal suffer? Because it is always caught up in its own making, its own ideas, its own beliefs, what's made up in its own mind. It fears what's made up in the mind. Therefore, it's caught up in that. We see that the personal self is always taken up with the external, with struggle, with war inside and out. When the inner or higher self, which is the impersonal, is aroused, then the radioactivity of life forces is let loose. These electromagnetic waves of nature's forces begin to retransform the mind, brain, and body. Don't you know that these forces of nature are intelligence in action that built this body, that built your body, that built your brain and your nerves and everything about you? This intelligence is always expressing itself, but it is hindered by the personal experiences, by the personal beliefs, ideas, memories. But when the higher self comes into operation, these radioactivities, that intelligence that created the body, that is co-partner with the consciousness that is universal itself, it causes then nature's forces to begin to retransform the mind and body. The inner atomic action creates strong suggestions to the subconscious mechanism, which starts instantaneous action. There are strong undercurrents of energy moving in the right direction, which hurl their enormous sweeping waves to the surface, which shatter and quell the existing confusion. The personal self feels the relief, and this again starts the mind in action. There is a giving up of the idea of disease. And as the confusion and chaos die down, the personal self, though ignorant of what is going on, feels the relief. The relief, even in the ignorant self, send suggestions to the mind, which in time sends them on to the brain and body, when peace is established in the body and the body ceases to talk back, then harmony is established. Is your body talking back to you, or are you talking to your body? Is the self caught up then in the thing that the body feels? If the self is caught up in what the body feels, it must understand it. And when you begin to understand these things because they are effects of certain causes, the cause immediately will cease and the effect will pass away. It passes into nothingness where it belongs. Once harmony is established, the mind and body are transformed regardless of the nature of the disease or the gravity of the affection or the length of time of the chronic condition. Therefore, it does not matter how long that condition exists at all, whether it exists from the time you were born or whether it existed from your early life, it makes no difference. I tell you this, that it will pass away and dissolve into nothingness where it belongs. There is peace now. Now just feel that peace within yourself. Peace that passes all understanding. Let your consciousness be aware of it. Nothing can disturb it. Not even the body can disturb it. Not even what any person may say to you will remind you of anything of the past. Neither can it disturb it. That peace is eternal and ever present. With these things, memories, experiences have a beginning, they have an ending. They are not realities. That which is reality is eternal and ever-present. Even the self is not eternal. The self is only temporary. The self is that which is caught up in the body and the external things. But the real self is that which is impersonal, born in the impersonal, born in the infinite, born in the universal. And being born in the universal, by the universal, that exists in you as the essence of your own being. But to gain that tremendous power and peace, you have to discern all the things that is made up in your mind, your experience, your memories, the things that happened to you long ago, and be very joyful of the fact that they rise to the surface so that you can deal with them and destroy them and understand them. And they never trouble you anymore. And when you know they're only made up in the mind, oh, what a wonderful relief it is. And that which is not made up in the mind is reality, is truth, is being. Being now. Is it not so that your memories, your experiences, the past, is always clouding the present? How can the ever-present be realized when your memories and your experiences are crowding the present? But you must see that they must be discerned in the present. And in the present they can be dissolved away. And in the presence of that presence, they are dissolved away because they are made up in your mind. Therefore, do not allow in any way whatsoever the past, your future, your experiences, or even your knowledge, which is binding, to hide the ever-present, because the ever-present is the eternal, mind you. The eternal is now. Please see this now. I'm giving you this as a message tonight, so you will understand yourself understand reality, understand how to dissolve these things that rise to the consciousness, these things that trouble you. With true guidance, the self begins to realize that the suffering is a mere illusion, artificial and temporary. Anything that is temporary is transitory and has no foundation of its own, before it is a product of the self, which is also illusionary. The only reality is that which is not the personal self, but the impersonal self, which is one and whole, complete. I was born in the impersonal. I was born in the universal. I cannot be otherwise but universal. I was born in the impersonal. I cannot be otherwise. What does the personal self do? Doesn't the personal self separate man from man? But the impersonal is the very opposite. The impersonal is the unity between God and man. Therefore, it is peace. Nearly all religions are made up in the mind, but you can discern that all these ideas, creeds and dogmas and so forth is made up in the mind. You will know it is not true. You know it is not truth. But the blind lead the blind and they all fall into the stupid ditch. The ditch of the illusion. Whenever you discern these things that are made up in the mind, you will know it is not the truth. Because no one knows what the truth is. But the truth is, and I am the truth, you are the truth, I am the living truth. But Jesus said these words so often, but immediately you get the understanding of Jesus, his own mind and his teachings, and understand them, you will see clearly what he meant. The Christ is the only begotten Son of God. He's the only Son. There's no other Son. But this Son, Christ, is one whole. There's no division in it. The life of God is not divided. It is not divisible. How can it be divisible? It is not divisible. Therefore, the life in the Son is not divisible either. The life in the Son is representative of you and me. The life that is representative in you and me. That is the Son of God. That's what Jesus revealed. I'm in you and you and me, and we are in him. And we are all in one, all in the Father. Call no one your Father on earth, but one is your Father who is in heaven. If disease were real, it could not be healed, since reality is not subject to change. The self is born into fear by the aid of suggestion from those who fear. But by the time you are born, your mother is afraid of what could happen to you. She's always surrounding you with fear. Your parents surround you with fear from the time you are a baby. You're born into fear and you fear. It's necessary then to understand what fear is and how it comes about. If you understand it was made up in the mind, if you understand properly with mere suggestions that you accepted when you were young, and you're still continually doing it now, Jesus said, fear not. He always told his disciples, fear not. I am with you even unto the end of the world. Meaning, I am with you, no matter if the end of the world came, I am with you now. There is nothing to fear. The Master said, fear not, for I am with you even unto the end of the world. In other words, fear not even the end of the world comes. I'll be with you, for there is no death. Fear of death is the cause of much suffering in the human race. I have said before, there is no dead particle in the living universe. How could there be a dead particle of life? There is no difference between so-called death and life. They are one and the same. It is change from one phase to another. That's all it is. Change. continual change taking place. In fact, a so-called dead body is more alive than a living body, because its particles are more active. They are separating themselves and moving into their own vibrations of substance, being attracted to their own vibrations, both into the various elements and also into the air and the water and the various things that exist. So they are dissolving back again into the original elements of which they arose. They are atoms in themselves. And these atoms, having vibrations of certain vibratory or rotary motion, are attracted to the substance of which is rotating at the same rate of vibration. So there is a disintegration, a dissolving away of the material, the flesh, whatever the case may be, the tree or the plant, moving back into the original form out of which it rose. Therefore there is no death, there is change. And an apparent dying thing is more alive than a living thing, because of the fact that it is changing, disintegrating. Particles are separating from one another, forming new groups, ready to form further groups. Therefore, there is no death. But if you're always caught up in your body, caught up in the values of the body and the flesh, then you will not understand the greater values, those values that are beyond the flesh. Paul says we die nightly, meaning death is but the leaving of the personal self and living in the impersonal self. It is a portal through which we become aware of that which is beyond. In sleep we break the consciousness of the self. In death we do the same. In sleep we have dreams, fanciful and not real. In death we have an awakened reality. Death and sleep are brothers. One is real while the other is not real, because life and death are one and the same. Life continues in its more perfected abode, in which the consciousness becomes more aware. Therefore, the fear of death must be eliminated from the mind of man, and the consciousness of the eternal life must be established. But you can only see then that death is made up in your mind. These things that are made up in your mind are not true. Death is made up in your mind through the assumption, through the suggestion of what you see and hear and feel is dying. But now you create these things in your own mind, the ideas of what it is, but it is untrue, because you do not know the fundamental principles of the science of the universe, neither do you understand the principles of the impersonal. If you then know perfectly clearly then what I am telling you, you would come to the realization that what you have made up in your mind is not true. It is but a suggestion, an idea, a belief, knowledge. Paul says knowledge will be superseded, prophecies will disappear, the tongues will cease, but love will always remain. So love and wisdom are the expressions of the impersonal. Knowledge is binding, but wisdom guiding knowledge, it is releasing, because it is ready to receive new knowledge, to release the old. But you have no wisdom, you do not do that. You hold on to your stupid old ideas, your beliefs in death and so forth. Therefore your knowledge you have gained already is rubbish. It's nonsense. Not until such time you have gained the realization of the truth do you find that reality that makes real things. Therefore, know clearly and distinctly in your mind the things that are made up on your mind are not true. And if you do not realize that, you will still carry on making your mistakes, thinking that knowledge is real. Knowledge is binding. With wisdom, it's releasing. Only with wisdom is knowledge releasing. Knowledge without wisdom is binding. What do we see today? Knowledge without wisdom is destruction. We create things through knowledge. We find out what is really is. We do not create that which is. We only find out that which is. Then we use the knowledge we have for destroying instead of from building up. And today we find the world in chaos. We're using our knowledge at the present time, building up munitions to blow the whole world to pieces and blow humanity with it. But with wisdom, we would guide this knowledge into true channels. Knowledge will be creative and not destructive. It will be building up for the human family and not for destroying the human family. Therefore, is it not so then that knowledge is binding in its own? Always remember that wisdom must come first. Wisdom and love must be the fundamentals of your living. Otherwise, you will lose yourself in that which is destructive. This is one of the greatest aids to the healing of the body, because a consciousness of fear is destructive to the functions of the body, while a consciousness of life removes the fear and revives the functions of the soul and body. Our Father who art in heaven, call no man your father on earth, but one is your Father who is in heaven. You are not born of the flesh and blood, but of the Spirit that is eternal. These words are the Master's words, put in a different setting, but they mean the same thing. Perfect healing of the mind and body can only be done when fear of disease and death has disappeared. The problem then is how to reach the patient's mind and remove fear with all its appendages, and to effect that splendid and instantaneous recovery of mind and body. Firstly, we must know ourselves before we can help another. Isn't that true? Thereby giving understanding. One who understands has a firm, commanding voice which rings with conviction. Even the dullest person will receive enlightenment from a mind that is enlightened itself. You light his lamp with your own light. Therefore, you understand. The mind becomes freed from the things that bind it. Knowledge, experience, memory, these things are binding. Don't think I'm decrying knowledge by any means whatsoever, but knowledge by itself is binding. Look at any particular ology you like. A person will follow a particular line of thought, and they get into a cul-de-sac. They cannot get out of it. They reach that particular area where they've got to turn back and find the center again, so they can obtain that which is real in itself. Their knowledge becomes binding. They can't express themselves except through a particular form of thought. And if you have any particular idea that is different to theirs, they will fight to the death to maintain their old stupid ideas, just as they did not very long ago to try and maintain the idea that the earth was flat and not round when they put poor old Galileo in prison because he said that the earth was round. But who was it that put Galileo in prison? It was the fathers of the church, was it not? Those people who believed that the earth was flat. Therefore, their knowledge was binding and destructive. What was the Inquisition? Was it not the people who were burnt at the stake because of the fact that they had gifts that were beyond the human intelligence? And it was a fact that they believed that these gifts were evil, so the church and the people that supported the church destroyed them and burnt them at the stake because they were supposed to be witches. What did they do to Jesus himself? They strung him up, you nailed him to a tree, did they not? That is all made up in the mind. So is the idea that the earth was flat was made up in the mind, was it not? It was not a truth, was it? But it was supposed to be knowledge, wasn't it? But that knowledge was binding, was it not? And some people will tell you that this is the only living planet, but there's no other people in any other planet in the universe except on the earth. And where do you get those stupid ideas, those binding ideas? They come from creeds, dogmas, and so forth. Knowledge binding. Wisdom is releasing. So wisdom sees clearly new knowledge, releases the old knowledge. And as that new knowledge then becomes old, so it's released again. Wisdom does that. But without wisdom, you have no real knowledge. Because you're caught up in your own beliefs, your ideas. An idea of truth is not truth. A belief in truth is not truth. The word God is not God. Firstly, then, we must know ourselves. Then, help another. In many cases, mantras are not much help because of the weakened state of the mind. Also, it often intensifies the idea that is dominant in the mind. But by skillful, intelligent words, through understanding, when the patient is receptive and willing, a change begins to take place, and sometimes instantaneously. The power of your thought, through understanding, sets in motion electromagnetic waves that reach the mind of the patient and breaks up vibrations of his own thought forces that are binding him. By this means, the mind of the patient can be reached either from a short or long distance. Besides, by this method, forces are set in motion internally, unknown to the patient. And there is no resistance offered, as there is in many cases when the belief in disease and death is strongly held in the patient's mind. That's why in many cases that absent treatment is even more efficacious in some cases than direct action. For the simple reason that the person is so completely bound up in their disease and their trouble, that the more you talk about the trouble to them, the more it is embedded in their minds. They are not releasing their troubles, but binding themselves with their troubles. And in those cases, I have found that absent treatment has the effect of entering into the consciousness, knowing, of course, that your consciousness is universal. You can't treat a person if you think that your consciousness is personal, and that person is away from you, and some distance away from you, and there is some separation between you and the person. And the personal self can't treat at all, for the simple reason that the personal self is the separation between man and man. But you being a universal, because you're born in a universal, there cannot be two consciousness. God's consciousness and your consciousness. It's impossible. But knowing that your consciousness is universal, therefore it reaches the consciousness of every individual in the universe, provided you understand. Therefore, you set in motion terrific forces of life. Not that you know what life is, but being life yourself and conscious, you set in operation these forces You don't have to create. If I want to let forces fly through me, what do? I only allow light to manifest. I don't create anything. I'm not forcing my teeth and my will to create something, am I? But you feel, don't you? Life's forces. The universe is expressing itself through the consciousness that's aware of it. The universal created the individual consciousness for its own self-expression. When the individual consciousness becomes aware of this, it gives expression to the universal, does it not? But is the universal always expressing itself? Seeking channels how it can express itself, and where it can express itself? You are here for that purpose, are you not? You come here for the highest thing that is possible, is it not? If it is not so, you're not worthy to be here at all. You are here to give expression to that which is greatest, the universal. And you do not have to create the universe. The attributes that must be cultivated if you desire to help mankind is firstly a deep understanding of the cause of confusion in mind and body. With this, a self-confidence is established, for if your own mind is confused, this will be transferred to the patient. And if your own mind is confused, how can you understand the confusion of another person? But if you understand the confusion in your own mind, you will understand the confusion in any other mind. As a matter of fact, every time I heal a person, or every time I attempt to heal a person, I heal myself by doing so. I clarify my mind with regard to the cause of the trouble and what it is. I see in my own mind that it's made up in the mind. I see in my own mind it's a cause within the self. I see clearly it has no existence of its own at all. I see clearly and distinctly that it has no power of its own. I see that it's temporary and transient, therefore it has no power whatsoever, except the power the individual gives it. I see that it is not true, because truth is real, not made up in the mind. All your troubles are made up in your mind, every one of them. Think out what I'm saying now, and you will see how true it is. With this self-confidence, the will to help is changed with the divine faith of understanding. With this established, your magnetic aura is purified and your thoughts are dynamic. Realization of the fact that everything is harmless in nature, and you are also harmless to all, and all is harmless to you, this is most essential. An understanding of the self is most important than what the self stands for. When you can see that the self alone is the cause and not anything outside the self, then the freeing of the self begins. When the self is freed, the spirit does the work. In other words, take off the brakes and God does the work. The master said, I of myself am nothing. It's the spirit of the Father that doeth the work. Therefore, when you see the self, knowing that it is nothing, but it's the Spirit of the Father within you that doeth the work, the self is dissolved away with all its stupid things, its all its cravings, its possessiveness, its agonisms, its various so-called causes and effects. Because if the self is that, by this state of mind, the radiance of mind and body will develop naturally, and this is most necessary in your personal contact with others. On the extent of your spiritual knowledge will depend your proper diagnosis of the case. Thereby, you will be able to supply the proper treatment. All this gives you a power like a high-speed drill that bores through the hardest steel, bore into the consciousness of the patient enabling divine healing to take place. The consciousness of the patient must be broken up. All these things that are held in the consciousness of the patient, because the patient becomes aware of certain things only because he is conscious of them. And you can be aware of nothing except you are conscious of them. But the consciousness is caught up in the apparent reality of these things and gives these things apparent reality that does not exist. If the consciousness must become aware of what they are, and they drop away, the consciousness becomes freed. As it were, you take yourself out of prison. You unlock the doors yourselves. You must acquire faith through understanding, a faith that removes mountains, a true attitude towards life through understanding the self. This will give you a sensitivity towards spiritual energies to enable them to flow through you. Develop a willingness to listen to what the patient says with sympathy and understanding. Don't just turn away, but listen with sympathy because of the fact that the patient is getting rid of all these things that are burdening them. But once you get rid of it all, then they continue to think and understand everything as it rises to the surface. You will see what's in the patient's mind and how it was made up. Then as you understand the whole process of the mind, you don't stop the patient telling you those things. That would be the worst thing you could do, because the patient is emptying himself out of all these things, and he feels better, or she feels better, after she has emptied herself out. But after the emptying process has taken place, there must be a proper understanding given to the individual, otherwise, as Jesus said, as one devil leaves you, seven devils may be enter in unless you understand. So therefore you show how all these things have been made up in the mind, how they were brought about and how they're not real and so forth, and show what reality is. You have enough knowledge now to understand that God is infinite nature. God alone exists. Life is not destroyed. Life is not dividing. Life is not affected by anything that you are alive. You've been given consciousness and free will to do, to act. And you've made you a mind to think through, a mind to create in. But what have you done? You've created falsehoods in your mind. You've made things up in your mind that are not true. By your reaction to things external to yourself, what you see and what you feel, are all vibrations passing into your mind, through your eyes, through your touch. These vibrations are interpreted in your brain, and you picture what you see. You make up in your mind what you see, what you feel and what you touch. That's why every person's got a different idea of what to see and feel. You make it up in your mind. And what's made up in your mind is not true. It's not a truth. I want you to know what truth is. To know that it is now, ever-present. The ever-present is the eternal. And it's the renewal of the ever-present that gives you renewal of the eternal always. Therefore, discern everything in the present. Dissolve it in the present. And know that the eternal will always be present with you. Become impersonal in the light of the oneness of all, through losing all sophistication. Be humble as the spirit itself in its lowest manifestation. With this understanding, you will be free from negative suggestions. There are many things that must be taken into consideration. The type of the individual asking for help, discerning his psychological background, his interests, his aspirations, desires, hopes, occupation, general activities, what conflicts and suppressions are present, worries, home life, etc., diet and general living conditions, what literature is mostly read, what social life engaged in, previous ailments, nervous reactions to people and things, childhood and other memories that may be holding him in bondage. And when you see these things that's holding him in bondage, you show them that they are holding him in bondage. Therefore, he's releasing. You are entirely releasing the individual. That is the whole problem. Entirely releasing. Jesus said, loose him and let him go. So it's the same thing what you must do too. Any disturbing influence, mild or intense, has a tendency to hold the patient in bondage. The patient should be shown how to get rid of these inhibiting processes which are preventing harmony being established in his system. All that is disturbing the normal functions of life should be discerned and removed through understanding. By this method, your own mind as well as the patient's becomes an open book. A true healer heals himself every time he heals a patient. He heals himself of all that is disturbing his own mind. By this method, the divine healer acts without hindrance. Mental annoyances, whether conscious or unconscious, must be neutralized by the transforming power of love and wisdom. Every disturbing influence is like a gorilla, hiding in the corner of the mind, waiting for his comrades to arrive. And when they gather in sufficient numbers, they land an attack on the poor, unsuspected individual to lay him low. And these gorillas are the things that you have made up in your own mind. They are not a reality. But they do gather together. And as they gather and form into one, then all of a sudden they make the attack upon you. Rise into your consciousness, and your consciousness is not completely aware, ready to receive them. Therefore, you are laid low. But if you had knowledge and understanding, don't you see, no matter what memory it is, no matter what happened in your past, no matter what it is, you discern it without condemnation, without identification, without comparisons. You discern it freely, without identifying yourself with it. See that it's made up in your mind. See it's not a reality. Are you identifying yourself with everything that's in your mind? If you do, then you'll never get rid of it. Are you comparing it? Are you condemning? Are you judging? If you do, then you identify yourself with it. I am spirit, life. I know what's made up in my mind, and I know what it is. I'm not attached with it, nor am I affected by it, nor am I controlled by it. I am spirit. I am life. I know what's made up in my mind. I know that it is not real. I know that it's made up. Do I identify myself with it? Of course not. If I did, I wouldn't be here today. I wouldn't be talking to you at this moment the way I am. I'd be dead long ago. I'd be out of the body anyhow long ago because I would have destroyed myself. But knowing that I have not identified myself with what is made up in my mind, what reactions take place, external, or what happens with other people too, I don't identify myself with these things. I see them for what they are. All I have is truth. Love is the supreme factor. Wisdom, the use of knowledge, the director of knowledge. These elements thrive in ignorance, and the cure is understanding. Spiritualizing the patient's consciousness with your own powerful spiritual light of understanding, so that when his light is lit, it shall shine into the darkest corner, thereby lighting up the mind and the body with the light that never dims. What I said in my last lecture should be reread again with care. The world is sick because the individual is sick. Confusion and ignorance are the cause. Remove these two impostors, and the divine man will appear in all his glory, for he is now. He does not have to be. He does not have to become. He is now. Becoming is going away from reality. Being is reality. God is now. He doesn't have to be. Nor do you create him. But you have created a God in your own mind according to your own ideas. And your God is a false one. And you worship him. Therefore you do not know what you worship. But those who know do know what they worship. While those who worship the idol in their own minds do not know. Therefore you have built up a God according to your own ideas, your own feelings, your own beliefs. And you pray to this God and you think that you shall have a return. Let me tell you, all your prayers are idolatry. Jesus said, close the door and bear in the very being you commune. No word needs to be spoken. Not a syllable can be expressed. But just that unity. That which is, I am. I am that which is. Some will say this is a big task, but the task does not look so mountainous when we begin with ourselves first. Our radio waves will encompass the earth, so do not delay, for tomorrow never comes. No one lights a lamp and hides it under a vessel, or puts it below the bed. He puts it on a stand, so that those who come in can see the light. Jesus' words, Luke 8:16. Benediction. O Divine One, thou didst sow the seed of truth, yet many trod it underfoot, not recognizing its salvation. Some did take it in, yet it failed to take root because of the lack of understanding. O Divine One, help us to till the soil of our souls, so that the roots of the seed will grow to bring forth more fruit in abundance. For salvation begins with us. May thy light shine forth to help others to see the way, O blessed brother of God.